KFIZ News Time is 9:39 as Fond du Lac Today continues from the AirTech Heating Studios on a Thursday. It's May 13th of 2021, and it's time for our May Consumer Chat with the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen from DATCAP, kind enough to join us, as always, here on the phone lines for a May Thursday morning. Lots of stuff to talk about for the month of May, so let's welcome in Michelle to the program here this morning. Michelle, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you taking some time, as always. A lot of different things to talk about this month. Let's jump right in. And something we usually start our conversations off each month is a look at some of the top complaints to the Consumer Protection Hotline for the previous month. Looks like a couple different things that are certainly very familiar to probably our listeners, but some things we need to still be aware of here as we head into the month of May. What were those top complaints for the month of April that you could share with us?
Yeah, no surprise. Social Security Administration imposter scam that's circulating out there. Scammers trying to get individuals' Social Security number by making them think there's been some suspicious activity and that consumers need to do a verification. This is an automated call to begin with, and we want people to just continue to ignore this, hang up, and don't fall victim to this, because as this scam progresses, it turns into a financial scam as well as the beginning part of that identity theft scam trying to get that personal information. The next scam we have talked about once or twice, and it's the Amazon scam. And here consumers are either receiving phone calls or emails about an Amazon purchase that they did not make. An example is that they'll receive an email saying that there has been an Amazon purchase for nearly $500 and it will ship the next day, but to please call the number that's in the email with questions or if this is not your order. And so individuals start to think, boy, it's pretty, you know, high priced and I didn't order anything from Amazon. So, of course, they call that phone number is the hopes of the scam artist. But if anyone encounters this scam and they start to question if this is legitimate or not, just log into your Amazon account and look at your purchase history and see if there's anything going on there and contact Amazon direct using that method as opposed to something in an email that you've received or this phone call. And then the other one we've heard about comes and goes, you know, throughout the season, if you will, and this is the Publisher's Clearinghouse scam. So this scam often starts with a call, sometimes a letter, saying that you've won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, which everybody wants to be a winner. So it gets pretty exciting there, and your emotions get all in check here. But to collect your prize, they say you need to send money to pay for fees and taxes. Some will send you a realistic-looking fake check in the mail. And then you're told that to claim your prize, you need to deposit the check and send some of the money back for those made-up expenses that they've talked about, the fees and taxes. But in the end, once that check clears, it ends up being a fake check. And if you spent any of the money, then you could run the potential of it bouncing. And so, again, remember the basics of consumer protection and prizes. You don't have to pay if you've won something, and you can't win if you've never entered. Mm-hmm. So this scam kind of puts some different twists and turns into it to really cause confusion, but there's a lot of red flags in it if you can get away from the emotional state of having won something.
Yeah, if somebody called your phone and said, hey, you just won $1 million, your automatic reaction is to be like, really? Oh, that's awesome. But you need to take that pause and say, wait a minute, how did I win $1 million? Like you said, Michelle, if I'd never entered the contest, it's impossible to do that, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, you just need to step away for a minute, take a breath, and think it through.
And to prevent these scams, prevent falling victim from the scams, I know folks at DATCAP, it's really all about, you know, keeping your personal information safe and secure and not giving it out to people that are strangers, right?
Yeah, you said it perfectly in that you don't hand out that trusted information, that sensitive information to individuals that contact you out of the blue. You don't need to do verifications with some stranger on the other end of the line that called you unsolicited. You know, it's different if you are trying to call and, you know, sign up for a new service and they need to do a credit check. Well, you've chosen who you're going to contact on your own, and you might have to give some information, but you've made the phone call, you know who you're talking to, and you didn't do so in response to something out of the blue. So keep that information secure and never hand out that bank account information to strangers.
Michelle, you mentioned the Amazon scam, and I know Consumer Protection is working to make people aware of different scams that are involved with online marketplaces, whether it be Amazon or maybe a place like eBay or even like a Facebook Marketplace. There's so many different sites that people might post something for sale. And I know DATCAP had some tips this month about dealing with potential scammers on online marketplaces. What can you share with us about that?
Yeah, this has become pretty common practice, and it has grown tremendously over the last year as well, just given how much online shopping people have gone through. And really, we want people purchasing items in online marketplaces to use caution, as these sales are not always straightforward. So there's many recognizable companies that allow third-party companies or person-to-person sales on their platforms. And as a consumer, when you're looking for something, you may not even notice that happening because you just think you're at that main website. I know that I've noticed that with some of the larger providers that I've shopped online with in the last year. And so you may not be doing business with who you think that you're doing business with. And not all of these companies, those third-party ones, are consumer-friendly, and some can be outright fraudulent. So you might experience products that show up not as described or pictured online, and they could be low-quality or imitation items. The third-party seller you could end up purchasing from may not accept returns or offer refunds for dissatisfied customers, and that could be opposite of, you know, whose platform you're on, and so you might not expect that. And sellers may be difficult to contact with concerns if they don't have a listed phone number, email, or web address. And while you might be able to go back to the main platform site if they have disclosures and have you know, tried to communicate that to you, that may be a challenge for a consumer. And then there's shipping delays that can happen, or just not even receiving that product at all. And contractors or service providers may just outright disappear, making that difficult for you to get money back or follow through as well. So a lot of just different things to be cautious of and really do your research about. And remember that if things are too good to be true on prices that are, you know, hot ticket items or really hard to find things, and now all of a sudden you found it for a deep discount, recognize that those are also red flags to be cautious of and really check out before you make any purchase, because we don't want you falling victim for one of these fraudulent sellers out there. So read those listings carefully, understand who the seller is, and check out the return policies before purchasing. Encourage you to use your credit card when making purchases so you have some form of protection with your credit card provider. And, you know, do comparable shopping, that comparison shopping. And if this is the only site that has the item and they say they have plenty of inventory and everybody's out and they're offering a deep discount, that's something to be curious about. It could be that it's just a fraudulent site, or it's just an imitation product out there that you might want to be cautious of.
Yeah, you talk about places like Amazon, and I'm pretty sure Walmart and Target, and you search something on their website and you'll see a listing for a product you want, but often it's sold by a third-party vendor, like you mentioned. And I'm sure Walmart or Target or wherever is aware that those vendors are on their website, but whether that vendor is honest and reputable or is selling legitimate items might be another question, right?
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, paying attention, knowing when you're moving away from the Walmart or the Target and into that third party, and understanding that differential with that return policy. But, you know, the follow-up, if you if one of these experiences is not positive for you as represented, it's really important to report it not only to Consumer Protection, but to who that platform provider was, so they can decide what measures they need to take or may be able to assist you with, and then make sure others don't have the same experience.
Michelle, I want to close our conversation this month. It is the end of a school year, and probably a lot of students who are graduating from high school or maybe and going to college for the first time, or maybe they're going back to college this fall, are going to be looking for an apartment, and a lot of first-time renters out there. And I know Consumer Protection has some tips on finding that first apartment and tips for those first-time renters, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to start by saying we have a great resource called the Landlord Tenant Guide that provides lots of helpful information for tenants and landlords. And it's very easily downloadable from our DadCap website. So anything you don't catch here, go grab that resource. But, you know, when you're out looking for that property and you decide that you found where you want to rent and you put some money down to be considered as part of the application process, know that that's called earnest money, and they're holding the unit for you. And if you change your mind about wanting to live there after you've applied and put that money down, if the landlord approves you before you say, hey, no, I've changed my mind, you run the risk of losing that money. The landlord can hold that money for the expenses that they've incurred in processing your application. But if you let them know before they've approved you that you've changed your mind, then you have the possibility of getting that money back. So you need to be very serious when you put that money down about wanting to live in that property and abide by those terms and conditions. You know, look at that lease before you put the money down and know that you can live with the rules and regulations that landlord has in place for that property and where you'll be living. And then that earnest money you put down, if approved and you enter that rental agreement, converts to what's called security deposit oftentimes. And that's really protection for the landlord. You might have to put additional money down for security deposit, but that's protection for the landlord that the property will, you know, stay in good condition. And so you can get that back at the end of your rental agreement if you keep the property in good condition. And one way of doing that is to complete a check-in sheet when you get the keys. You have 7 days from the first rental date to complete what's called this check-in report. And it can be a notebook piece of paper that you do or sending an email or something that documents the condition the property was in when you moved in. So that way, if you're there for a year, after a year, you don't have to remember exactly what it looked like. And if there was a hole in the wall when you moved in and that hole's still there, then you shouldn't be charged for that hole type situation. And you want to make sure that that's all documented. And same thing on the back end. When you are moving out, go through and fill out a checkout sheet and do a walkthrough with your landlord to try and get that security deposit back and see if there's little minor damages that you can take care of yourself to be sure you get that money back. But reading whatever rental agreement you have, again, before you put any money down with that application, and again, before you sign it, and really understanding the terms and conditions and asking questions about who rent is paid to, when it's due, how it needs to be paid, are all the best steps in entering that rental agreement and getting started with your landlord.
And just as, and I'm seeing that on the notes here, just as the renter expects the landlord to follow the rental agreement, it's the same vice versa. The landlord wants you to follow that too. I know that's very simplistic to say, but it's the honest truth, right?
Yeah, it really becomes about a relationship building and communication and making sure that, you know, you're following the rules and then that you, you know, kind of try to keep the landlord in check that they follow the rules, give you proper notice upon entering the property, if they need to do maintenance. But if you see that the faucet's leaking and has a drip, that you're reporting that so the landlord has an opportunity to correct it before things get out of control.
Very good, Michelle. If people have questions, they want to file a complaint, they want to find out more info about anything we talked about today, where's the best place they can go to do that?
You can go to our website at datcp.wi.gov or just call the Wisconsin Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
Excellent, Michelle. Thanks as always. We'll talk again in June.
Sounds good. Take care.
Michelle Ryan joining us from the State Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Our May Consumer Chat, again, the number she mentioned for the Consumer Protection Hotline, 800-422-7128 or datcp.wi.gov. And as she mentioned, for the Landlord Tenant Guide, you kind of used in the past myself when renting apartments. You could check that out on the DATCAP website and download it and print it off and use it to your advantage. We appreciate Michelle.